Amen. Hallelujah. Throughout the world, this past week has been a focus on prayer for the persecuted church. And this Sunday, today, and how fitting, being this is Remembrance Day week, this is also the day we focus our attention on the persecuted church. I have a brief invitation to that prayer from our district.
Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. In November, Christians around the world will gather for the persecuted church. Although the world could be a very dark place, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Instead, He has sent a great light in the form of His Son, Jesus, to shine into the darkness. We pray that God's light will shine through the lives of people walking faithfully with Him in the darkness. On November the 13th, let us pray as one voice for those who have none.
Jesus. From what we know of history, this world has never been without war. There has been war, it seems, since nearly the beginning. War between nations, between peoples, between man and God, even, it would seem. And most certainly between we and the enemy of our souls. There's been war. And there's been persecution. There always has been persecution. It is bullying on a grand scale. There's one other thing that occurs to me there's always been. Worship. What a wonderful thing. The idea that there's always been angels around the throne of God worshiping continually. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And we enter into that. You know, this is not a small thing, that we add our voices and our hearts to that worship when we enter into a time of worship together. And every church and every individual and every person, whether free or imprisoned, whether rich or poor, whether young or old, male, female, persecuted or free, we all worship our God. And I would think that there's always worship rising up into heaven. Isn't that beautiful? And that when it's our turn, we add our voices to that beautiful harmony. I love that. Yeah, there's always been war, but there's always been worship of our Lord. I love that. The idea of this persecution. It's dark. It's wicked. Indeed, there is light. There is hope. There is God. I read of one of our global workers, one of our PAOC, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, global workers, a missionary serving in one of those most dangerous and rarely reached areas and people groups of our world, sharing an account of the dangerous reality of living for Jesus in an unnamed country. I'm going to share with you that you'd be encouraged by what God is doing around this world. A team of Christian leaders on their way to a prayer meeting were called into a county office. They were interrogated for sharing the truth and for leading a group in their homes. These leaders did not give in to the threats and stood firm in their faith during the interrogation. They were eventually released, but a crowd had gathered, had been organized, and when the leaders emerged, this group were attacked, I should say, by five men yielding knives. Ali, whose name has been changed, obviously, was the most severely injured and was stabbed in the chest. Several hours later, Ali's family received a phone call explaining that the injuries were more severe than initially thought, and he had passed away. The other group leaders quickly made their way to Ali's house to be with his family for prayer, for comfort. One thing was clear, no one was backing down from the Christian faith or giving up the good fight. Even Ali's wife, despite her immense grief, was standing firm. On this day, these words of Jesus became so very real to all of us, she said. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. These are literal. For us, there's imagery that we surrender self and our will, our wants for a higher calling, God's calling in our lives. But these people literally are laying down their lives for the cross. There's such a weight to that. Such wonder. According to that story, it goes on to say that this particular part of the world, people are being trained. These new believers are coming to understand that their lives could be lost for the namesake of Christ. There are almost 600 new believers in this beginning movement. And our district, our denomination is asking that we would continue to pray for them, praying that the Father of Light would shine brightly through the lives of those walking faithfully with Him and to continue to shout from the rooftops that He is Lord of all. We've been asked to focus a little bit of our time in prayer. That's a small thing to ask, isn't it? We live in such a peaceful and tolerant society. We enjoy such freedom to gather together, to worship God. We can actually tell the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior on our street. For a couple of nights during the Christmas season. What a thing. That would be unheard of in some places. We can have 1 or 10 or 20 Bibles in our homes. In some places, that would be the most dangerous thing one could do. We can share the gospel. We can publicize, if you will, our activities in the newspapers and radio. And they even support it, and they're happy to promote our good works in Jesus' name. What a thing. We can go on Facebook and proclaim our faith. Some places, if you were to do that, you would likely have someone at your door very soon after that to beat you, to drag you away, perhaps to kill you, perhaps to imprison you. Such a thing. We've been praying for those who have been imprisoned for their faith to be set free. And we had just recently one of our faithful, one of our Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada missionaries released after near 3 years of imprisonment in China. He was finally released and returned to his family and back to Canada where he is recuperating. It's been, I think, just over a month since his release. Thank God. Our prime minister even had something to say about that. Thank God. Around the world, many fellow believers are persecuted, imprisoned, even killed for their faith. Since the day Jesus laid down his life, listen to this, 43 million Christians have been martyred. This is a statistic. These numbers come from Voice of the Martyr website, a very credible, very responsible organization. These numbers are likely conservative. 43 million Christians have been martyred since Jesus Christ, our Lord, laid down his life. Christians are the most persecuted religious group in the world. Want to have a target on your back? Be a Christian in countries like Burma, China, Egypt, Iran, Laos, North Korea, Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, Vietnam. Those are the top 10 countries in our world for persecution of Christians. It's staggering. Right now, 200 million people face persecution for believing in Jesus Christ. 200 million people. 60% of those people are children, are under the age of 18. This, according to the Christians in Crisis International Ministry, which is a ministry promoting prayer for the persecuted believers. Very credible. 163,000 Christians die every year for their faith. 163,000. And we're uncomfortable witnessing to someone in the lineup at No Frills because it's awkward. I just wrestled with the Lord the other day regarding, I knew he was saying, you need to speak out about this thing. You need to be vocal about this situation. The enemy has a voice, and he has many willing participants that will put in their two bits, will weigh in with their ideas and their encouragements. Keep going. Keep doing what you're doing. We're behind you. F them all. That's what these people are saying. Remove all the cuss words out of what they're saying, and there's hardly anything there for substance. It's just so vulgar, so outrageous. And we're letting them be a voice to our young people. And the Lord said, speak out on my behalf. I don't want to. I don't think that's the Lord. Continued doing what I was doing. He was relentless, kept coming back. You need to say something. Somebody needs to say something. If you don't, who does? This is important. No, that's I'm not. No, that's probably just me thinking too much. I'm just getting too busy in my own thoughts. And you can always tell when it's the Lord. If you're arguing with yourself, that's probably God. If you are battling in your spirit, in your mind, over doing or not doing something, and it's relentless, and I feel like Gilligan. I won't do it. I won't do it. I won't do it. And the next thing, he's dressed in a girl outfit, or he's dressed in a woman's outfit, whatever it is. And I won't do it. And the next thing you know, I'm sitting on my iPhone and I'm texting out this message for all to read. And I'm sure I'll offend people. And the Lord said, good. And then I deleted it. I put it down. I went back to doing what I was doing. Hopefully, you know, that was just me. I can't do this. I'll offend people. Somebody's not going to be pleased. And that's a crazy idea. I can't say that. I'm sitting back down again with my iPhone, texting again. Oh, it's even more. I can't say that. And the Lord's just downloading more and more to me to say and addressing certain individuals, not by name, but by obvious participation or whatever. I deleted two times. I went back to doing what I do. Couldn't get it out of my head. It was just so annoying. God was annoying my head. Clearly, that wasn't me. If you're having an argument with yourself, just give in, because it's not you. If it's a hard thing, and if it's a right thing, it's the thing to do. Well, big deal, I offended someone. They offended God. They offend us. They offend the Word of God and all that is right and true and good. So I finally did. I put it out there. Oh my. It's gone now. That whole post and everything I said, it's gone. It's weird. I don't know. But whoever was supposed to hear it, heard it. Whoever was supposed to read it, read it. Because God's word never returns void. And my words were not my words, they were God's words. Certainly I had some framing to do, but it was Scripture. It was Scripture, it was Scripture. I knew it was true because it was Scripture. It was correctly applied Scripture. And God's word never returns empty-handed. It always accomplishes that which the Lord sent it to do. Praise God. Die for our faith. We need to at least be uncomfortable. Let's get real uncomfortable. You know, in the end days, we're going to get very uncomfortable in our faith. Very uncomfortable. I want to share with you another video. It's from the Voice of the Martyrs. It's called Hanalei's Story. It can say so much better than I what these folks are going through.
Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. I believe they are in front of the Lord's throne, worshiping Him, praising Him, glorifying Him. And that they are just waiting for me to finish the race as well.
That is just three of the dear souls that gave their lives for the Lord's work. Three of millions. Why is this happening? John writes these words of Jesus. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. The Bible promises that every sincere Christian believer will experience some form of persecution. One of John's purposes in writing the book of Revelation was to give perspective and hope to Christians who were already suffering persecution. For the first 300 years after Jesus rose from the dead, Christians were a minority and were frequently targeted with persecution. It was the enemy's intent to wipe Christianity off the face of this earth. And he worked very hard at it. There were more Christian martyrs in this 20th century than in any other previous century. Martyrdom, this is a quote now, is a regular, ongoing mark of the church life in the 25% of global Christianity that we call the underground church. So says David Barrett of the World Evangelism Research Center. Barrett's statistics show martyrdoms increasing from 35,000 in the 1900s to an estimated 260,000 in 1990 alone. That's just staggering. Asked to explain the dreadful upsurge, Barrett says, all the long-term underlying factors which produce martyrdom seems to be gradually increasing in our day. And it will continue to increase unto the day of the Lord. We are in an escalating global conflict in the spiritual realm. And if only it remained in the spiritual realm. But it is played out every day in the physical. People are dying. People are being imprisoned. Revelation 12 gives us the life history of Satan. He is enraged at being defeated by Jesus through his work on the cross. No longer able to access the place where Jesus himself lives, the devil is confined to creating chaos on this earth. We read in Revelation 12:17, the dragon was enraged and went off to make war against those who keep God's commandments and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. Satan especially targets those who sincerely obey the Great Commission. Also, he is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. It is clear from the Bible and from current events that as the time for Christ's return draws near, the intensity and the pervasiveness of persecution can be expected to increase. So what can we ordinary Christians, you, me, what can we do? How can we go beyond wringing our hands and hoping for this all to just go away? Believe me, the starting point is prayer. Is prayer. This is not a small thing when we are called to prayer. We need to remember Christ has already won the victory. It's just a matter of this time being brought to a close. Christ has conquered death and the grave. Satan has lost the battle, but he will take as many down with him as he can. He will cause as much trouble and hurt and pain and fear as he can possibly muster in these last days. Our cause will ultimately prevail, but until then, we must pray. We must obey. We must serve in whatever way the Lord calls us to serve. We must be quick to respond to the call for the sake of the gospel. We need to be light in this dark world. We need to pick up the weapons of love and prayer and faith and mercy and grace and say to this mountain of persecution, be cast into the sea. The Bible teaches us how we ought to pray. Do you realize that outside of the Gospels, pretty much all the letters were written to persecuted church? It was to the persecuted church. The entire church in that day was under persecution. To be a Christ follower was not an easy thing. And in fact, the idea, the name Christian was intended to be derogatory. That is a Christian. To be a low thing. A Christ follower. A little Jesus, basically. Well, we take it as a very high praise, a very high compliment. The Bible gives us many, many lessons on how we ought to pray. I will take these five quickly out of the letter to the church at Ephesus. Please pray for persecuted believers that they would know the hope God gives. Paul writes, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance for his saints. Pray that they have hope, please. Pray also the Holy Spirit would strengthen them. Paul goes on, I pray that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Pray for hope. We pray for strength for these who stand in this very dangerous gap. Please pray persecuted believers would know how much God loves them. Paul says, I pray that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith and that you being rooted and grounded in love. These are all out of the letter, as I said, the book of Ephesians, the epistle. Next, pray they would know how to share the gospel effectively. Ephesians 6:19. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. And finally, please pray persecuted believers would fearlessly tell others about Jesus. Fearlessly. Courageously. We read in Ephesians 6:20, pray that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We pray for hope, for strength, for God's love to be known, effectiveness in sharing the gospel, and a fearlessness, a courageousness, a boldness to tell others about Jesus. We can also pray for their practical needs, yes. Please pray persecuted believers would have access to God's Word. To us, that's a small thing. We have great access to God's Word. Some have none. Some underground churches share one Bible, if even that. They share pages of scriptures among them and share them back and forth, and they treasure them and they commit them to memory and to their hearts. God's word is written on the tablets of their heart. Beautiful. Pray that they have the courage to remain in their homeland, in those unsafe places, to be most effective. If all the Christians leave those places, who will tell them? Who will proclaim God's good news? Please pray for believers who have been rejected by family and friends. This is happening all over the world. Pray that God surround them with a new Christian family who will love them and support them, both emotionally and physically. Pray for God to be an advocate for women who are socially vulnerable, who have lost custody of their children over their faith. And please pray that God would provide persecuted believers with jobs and a safe place to be. We're going to take 5 minutes now. This rings true with all of us. I know it does. We agree. We say amen. I invite you now to take up the call and pray with me. I will begin and I will finish. But in the middle of all of that, I invite you, anyone, as God speaks to you, as the Holy Spirit says, stand and pray. go ahead and stand and pray. And if more than one stands and prays, don't worry about it. That would be good. You're not out of order. Not at all. So let's bow our heads and let's fill these next minutes, these next 5 minutes, surely we can do that, with prayer for our brothers and sisters, the persecuted believers worldwide. Holy God, this is overwhelming. This just breaks our hearts. And we have often sang, break our hearts for what breaks yours. May our hearts be broken today, that we would be more than just a little moved by this, that we would be unsettled, that we would be troubled, that we would be bothered, and that we would indeed pray. God, I pray that this would not be for just today, but this would be the beginning, perhaps the birthing of a new realization, a new appreciation and respect for those who serve in such dangerous places. I pray that our hearts would be troubled and even broken for those folks, those children, those women, those men, those families, those faithful ones who are under attack for the gospel. Are we done? Is there another? Are you having an argument with yourself? Stand up. Settle this thing.
Lord, we just are so humble in light of what our brothers and sisters and you are going through. And Father, humbled and maybe a little ashamed in the sense that we think our problems are so much greater. And God, I pray your forgiveness on our thoughtlessness towards them and on our selfishness towards ourselves. And God, I pray that you take us beyond this day, that we would remember them daily, Father.
Daily.
Lord, because their struggle is every day and their
reality
is so real.
They lay down their lives daily.
Lord, I pray that you would remind us, stir our hearts by your Holy Spirit, and remind us of them. And Lord, when our eyes get on our own troubles and the cares of this world, take our mind and our heart back, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
That we would not forget them, Lord.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you know that we're not done. I believe we have just begun to pray that each one of us will take this with us. We'll go home. We will pray. We will pray daily. These folks risk their lives daily and even hourly. We will pray for them. Amen? Now listen, I think this was intended to wreck us, to mess us up, to upset us, to trouble us. Not so that we would walk out of here and say, oh, woe is us and woe is the church. But to stir us up to action. And it's no accident, because God does not do anything by accident and by chance. It's all with purpose and on purpose that Remembrance Day and the Sunday of Remembrance Week, if you will, and this Sunday of Prayer for the Persecuted Church happens to coincide, because we are in a battle and we are in God's army, and He is the captain of the heavenly host, and of all of our lives. Amen? These people who are risking everything for the gospel, they are on the front lines. They are fighting the good fight. They are serving and putting themselves at risk, and they are so in need of our support. We are the support troops. We offer prayer on their behalf for hope, for strength, for courage, for peace, for the presence of Christ in their lives. We better do our part. Pray for them daily. If prayer has become a bother, remember what you saw today. Remember what you heard today. Remember those numbers. Remember Helena's story, her husband, her two sweet children. Let it bother you. Terry, would you come and join us? We're going to sing in closing. Hallelujah. It's called Whom Shall I Fear? God of angel armies. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing and praise the Lord together and add our voice to the voices of the millions, past, present, future, earth, heaven, in glory. We're going to sing together. We're going to stand together. We're going to praise God together.